Support for The Common comes from Bluey's Big Play. Join Bluey, Bingo, Bandit, and Chili in their first ever live stage show, a fun-filled show made for the whole family at the Box Center Wang Theater, May 18th and 19th. Tickets at boxcenter.org.
WBUR Podcasts, Boston.
I'm Darryl C. Murphy, and you're listening to The Common. WBUR climate and environment senior reporter Miriam Wasser, welcome back to The Common.
Hey, Darryl. Thanks for having me back.
Yes, yes, yes. So, Miriam, you have a story about this company that wants to expand a gas pipeline through the Northeast. That includes Massachusetts, which is a big deal because Massachusetts and these other states have these ambitious climate goals. You know, they want to reduce their dependency on fossil fuels to combat climate change. Before we get into, you know, the deep nitty-gritty of the story, tell us what you know about this project.
Okay. So the company in here is called Enbridge, and they are a large Canadian energy company with fossil fuel infrastructure throughout the U.S., and right now, they own a gas pipeline that goes from northern New Jersey through New York, Rhode Island, Connecticut, and into Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. And then in northern Massachusetts, around Beverly, it connects with another pipeline that goes up through Maine and into Canada. So this pipeline is called the Algonquin Gas Transmission Line, and it is one of the main pipelines for natural gas in the Northeast. It brings us fracked gas from Pennsylvania. And what Enbridge wants to do is expand it. So they're talking about in some places they would dig up pipelines and put in larger diameter pipes. In other areas, they might run a secondary pipe adjacent to it, so sort of like in existing right-of-ways. To make this all work, they might also have to expand some compressor stations.
Mm-hmm.
For people who might not be familiar with a compressor station, basically it's this piece of infrastructure that gives gas a little boost, so it compresses it further to kind of help it move through a pipeline.
Mm-hmm.
And they are located every 50 to 100 miles along a pipeline. If you are familiar with a gas compressor station, you might be familiar with the Weymouth Natural Gas Compressor Station,
mm-hmm.
which is a particularly controversial project located here. Done a lot of coverage of that over the years, which is how I got into doing some coverage of this pipeline.
Got it. I imagine there is a lot of pushback on this project.
Yes.
I want to get to that in a minute. What is Enbridge's justification for this project?
Right. So Enbridge gives three reasons. But first, I just want to point out that New England does not have any native natural gas.
Mm-hmm.
So all the gas that we use has to be brought into the region. Most of it comes through pipelines like the Algonquin Gas Transmission Line.
Mm-hmm.
We are also very dependent on natural gas here. So what Enbridge is saying is that if they can increase the supply of gas coming into the region, it will help lower gas prices, right? Sort of just like supply and demand curves. And they say that this will help lower heating bills for people, and it'll help lower electric bills. Because right now, about 52% of electricity generated in New England actually comes from burning gas at power plants.
Mm.
The second reason they say increasing gas into the region will increase electric reliability, right? More gas means there's more for the plants to burn. In the wintertime right now, power plants often face gas shortages on really, really cold days because the priority goes to home heating. So we have a given amount of gas capacity in a pipeline. We use what we need for homes, and what's left over goes to the power plants. And the third reason is related to that. So on those really cold days when there might not be enough gas, power plants will burn oil instead. And oil is more expensive, and it's also a lot dirtier.
Mm.
So Enbridge says if we increase gas to the region, we're going to help states meet their net zero climate goals, because on really cold days, they won't have to burn oil. They can burn gas instead.
How legitimate are these reasons?
That's a great question. And I think that that depends on who you talk to. There are certainly energy experts who will say Enbridge is correct on all of these things, and we do need to double down on natural gas in the region. That's what's going to power us in the future. And then there are people who say, actually, none of these reasons are very legitimate. And For one, they might say states like Massachusetts and actually many states in the New England area are really leaning into moving away from fossil fuels. So we are, you know, going all in on offshore wind and solar, and we're trying to generate electricity from non-fossil resources.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, we're trying to get homes off of fossil fuels. So instead of heating with gas, you'll heat with electricity, and then we'll clean up the electric grid. So they're saying this idea that it's going to help us meet our net zero goals is kind of greenwashing in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And then another thing they'll point out is that gas is not a very stable commodity. Just look at what happened last winter after Russia invaded Ukraine and sent the fossil fuel market into a frenzy. Gas prices spiked. Our electric bills spiked. I know you and I have talked about this a lot.
Yep.
And so they will say relying more on fossil fuels is not a recipe for stable electric or gas bills. What we need to do is move towards renewables. Those will be more stable.
We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back.
Bluey, Bingo, Bandit, and Chili are coming to a theatre near you.
Do you want to play musical statues with us?
Join the Healers in their first ever live stage show, Bluey's Big Play.
Look, Mom, Dad's playing with us!
A fun-filled show made for the whole family. It's Bluey brought to real life. Book now for Bluey's Big Play. We can't wait to see you there.
Bluey! A gruesome scandal at the nation's most prestigious university shines a light on a macabre and lucrative world of buying and selling human remains.
Human body parts taken by a manager at the Harvard Medical School morgue and then sold to customers online.
So my first skull is right there on the top shelf. That's my first and my favorite.
I'm reporter Allie Jarmani, and this story raises some tough questions. How should we treat the dead? And who gets to decide?
There should be some middle ground where we treat deceased tissues differently than we treat old refrigerators.
This is Postmortem, The Stolen Bodies of Harvard, a new season of WBUR's Last Scene. Listen and follow Last Scene wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back with more from Miriam. Who gets a say in all of this? Because this pipeline is, you know, being ran through the state. I would imagine that state officials may not want this pipeline because it contradicts their climate goals, but it's happening. It's in the process of happening. So, yeah, who gets a say in this? What are state officials saying?
Yeah. So that's a really great question. And before I answer that, I just want to say one thing, which is that this project is in its infancy.
Mm-hmm.
Enbridge announced its intention to expand this gas pipeline earlier this month, and they have not formalized a plan yet. The way that gas pipelines work is before you can get permission from the federal government, you need to prove that there's demand for your pipeline, basically. Okay. And so what they've done is they've started something called an open season where they've put out this document that says, here's our intention to increase gas capacity X amount on this pipeline. Who's interested? Who wants the gas?
Open season.
It's open season. And that will end in mid-November. And they'll take the results of that and then do more development, kind of get more specifics about, like, where they're going to increase diameter versus where they're going to put a secondary pipeline, how much it might cost, et cetera, et cetera. And they'll take that plan and they'll go to the federal government. So you asked who gets a say in this. Interstate gas pipelines are under the jurisdiction of the federal government, specifically the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, or FERC. FERC is a very powerful agency that probably not a lot of people have heard about.
What the FERC?
Yeah. So they'll go to FERC and they will ask for something called a Certificate of Public Convenience and Necessity, which is like the first big, big hurdle. And that will also trigger an environmental review and a public comment period. So, you know, if people are angry about this, they can file comments.
Mm-hmm.
But what I was really curious about is the question you asked, which is what role do the states have in this?
Yeah.
If you are building a new pipeline or a new compressor station, you're going to need state environmental permits. You're going to need clean water permits. You're going to need clean air permits. In the case of an expansion project, that may or may not be the case. It depends, again, on what the project design is and any potential impacts it could have.
And that difference is because it's an expansion.
There's already in the ground, right? Yeah. We already have the right of ways here. We've already certified that this isn't destroying whatever habitat is right here. Mm-hmm. Depending on the details of that expansion, it might go through under the existing permit. It might need something else. So, you know, when you ask what role does the state have, we don't know. That's a really big deal, I think, right? Because this is going through New Jersey, New York, Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts.
Yeah, they got to have some kind of say, I would think.
Yeah. Well, all states that have really strong climate goals and that probably are not looking to expand fossil fuel infrastructure right now.
I picture a lot of cursing in the state house, like, what the?
Possibly. I mean, I asked the Healey administration because I...
What the FERC is going on?
What the FERC is going on, exactly. you know, and I got a quote from a spokeswoman for Governor Healey, and she said, this is a new proposal, and we're reviewing the details. However, the Healey-Driscoll administration is committed to expediting clean energy infrastructure and moving away from fossil fuels.
Did you talk to any climate advocates?
I did, and they are not happy about this, as you can probably imagine. One of the people that I spoke to is Nathan Phillips. He's a professor here at Boston University, and a lot of the work that he does is looking at the adverse impacts of fossil fuel infrastructure. He's also a climate activist and has been very involved in protesting the Weymouth natural gas compressor station. Mm-hmm. So I asked him about this project, and here's what he said.
We're mobilizing, and we're going to pressure everywhere to put an end to this.
He said that they plan on putting a lot of pressure on the Healey administration to oppose this, on the federal government to oppose this. And, you know, if past actions are any indication, we could expect to see some civil disobedience as well should this move forward.
Hmm. Yeah. What's the chances that this will not move forward? Is there a way to stop it?
What I have heard is that a company like Enbridge is not going to declare an open season and go out soliciting bids if it hasn't had backdoor conversations with mm-hmm. gas buyers ahead of time. So the fact that they're having an open season probably means that there's demand for this gas. So we can be pretty certain that they will get answers back from that will be in their favor and that they will file something with the federal government.
Mm-hmm.
Another sort of unknown, you know, there's a lot of discussion right now happening within Congress about reforming how we permit projects. So the outcome of that, should anything change, could make a project like this easier to build, or it can make it harder to build. Mm-hmm. It sort of depends on what comes out of that. And, you know, whether or not states have an opportunity to issue environmental permits could have a big impact too, because if all the states deny the environmental permits, then you can't really begin construction.
Right, right. Did you talk to Enbridge?
Enbridge declined my request for an interview, but answered questions in an email.
Okay.
You know, I did ask them specifically about the Weymouth compressor, because that is a project that a lot of people here in Massachusetts have their eye on. And they said that at this time, they have no plans to expand the Weymouth compressor as part of this pipeline expansion project. And when I put that to some of the climate activists, they said, we don't believe anything Enbridge says, so we're preparing for that to be the case.
Got it. Well, Miriam, seems like we're at the beginning of a very interesting story. So what will you be looking out for moving forward?
Yeah. As I mentioned, the sort of open season solicitation period goes through mid-November. After that, we can expect Enbridge to kind of take that all in, finalize their plan, come up with some project cost estimates, and probably sometime in the next few months, file at the federal level. So when that happens, I'll definitely be taking a look at what that project looks like. And I think we'll have more we'll have a better sense of who might be impacted and what those impacts might look like. So I will let you know when that happens and look forward to coming back on The Common about it.
Absolutely. The door is always open for you, Mary.
Oh, thank you.
That's WBUR Senior Climate and Environment Reporter Miriam Wasser. And that's our show for today. Thank you so much for listening to The Common. If you like what you're hearing, please go to wherever you listen to podcasts, especially Apple or Spotify. Rate and review us. It will help us a bunch. Thank you to everybody who already has. Also, if you want to get in touch with us, hit us up on Instagram at WBURTheCommon or send us an email at thecommon@wbur.org. We would love, love, love to hear from you. I'm Darryl C. Murphy, and I will talk to you tomorrow.